Be here with you this morning, representing such a fantastic ministry. I do want to give you the name of our ministry, though. We are a crisis pregnancy care center, but the name of our center is Crossroads Pregnancy Care, and it's done a valuable work in the community for almost 30 years now, but I've been here for about a year. Now, if I haven't spoken enough for you to understand, I'm not from here. I'm from down south. I moved up here just before the year started in 2014, and after just a few months, I was convinced I had accidentally moved to Alaska. Four degrees, really, in Pennsylvania. I had no idea. Thankfully, my daughter has purchased for me this year an overcoat, which is something I never owned before because I likely didn't need one. I need one now. It's really great to be here. I appreciate all that we've heard and seen so far in the service this morning. I appreciate the gifts and the talents that God is using in this church to be a blessing to this body. I did want to mention, here's the Christmas card. It's amazing to me that one of your fifth grade students in Upper Bucks Christian School was sort of the catalyst for me being here this morning. And Taylor was over here at some point. Is she not in the service now? There she is. Okay, so look at the girl with the red face. She's right over there. Mom and Dad's very proud. We put this out there because we thought it'd be a great idea to have our local fifth grade students that would like to participate in a drawing contest. And so Taylor Barth won our contest this year. So this is the picture. I do have some overruns that are in the information area, and her name in the school is on the back of the card. So if you'd like one, there should be enough for the first 30 or 40 of you who'd like to have one. So we're thankful for that this morning. Pastor told me I had till, 11 o'clock? Excited to have that opportunity and to speak with you this morning. As I've been prayerfully considering exactly what the Lord would have me share, because these messages are not always the same, the Lord has placed on my heart to look at two paths that we find ourselves on in our culture. But I'm going to begin this morning by looking at two passages of Scripture. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. I'll be reading a couple of texts as I begin this morning. These texts that I'll be looking at certainly indicate clearly who the author of human life is, who the author of all life is. But these that I'll be looking at this morning certainly sets the stage for God being the author of life. Psalm 103 reads, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." God is the author of life, and He is the one who has, in His own mind, determined when life should begin here on earth, as we read in Genesis, as well as each life along the way. But I want to take it a step further, and you don't need to turn with me there, but Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 reads, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou hast come forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." See, a lot of people would argue that life begins at birth. Certainly not us. Many of us have argued over time that life begins at conception. But I'm here to tell you this morning, based on what God has shared through Jeremiah, is that life began in the mind of God. Before conception took place, before even time began, He has conceived in His own mind about life and who would be a part of it. So I'm thankful to say this morning, life begins even beyond conception, but it begins actually in the mind of God. Now, in the mind of God was a plan for life. And we know about the early plan with Adam and Eve and how they messed it up for us. But we also realize that even then, and from then to now, God has had a plan for humanity. And in regards to family and how we're to live our lives as human beings, God has worked out that man and woman would marry and bring forth children according to His plan. And so in God's design for life, He has created a relationship, one He with us with Him, in a relationship that includes worship and fellowship. And He's created us for the purpose of fellowship and relationship. And it excites me this morning that God, the creator of all heaven and earth, and all of us who are here this morning, wants to relate to me. And He wants to relate to you personally. And I'm thankful for that. So we begin with this relationship that we have with the author and creator of all humanity. But then He works it out where He wants us to procreate. And so He has man and woman coming together to continue life. And so the two will come together, as the scriptures say, and become one flesh. And we see that from Adam and Eve on down. But let's look at it from the perspective of us here today. We know that God wants to have a relationship with us, and He wants to relate to us. But we find ourselves being drawn to one another as men and women to get married. And God's design is, as we relate to Him, that we would find a mate that also desires to relate to Him. And God has this plan for those of us, particularly in the church here this morning. We're very familiar with the fact that God wants us to marry and come together with a spouse that loves Him equally as we do. In the perfect design, we will find that perfect mate, that one who truly loves the Lord just as we do. And by God's design, we'll get together and we'll get married. And then, if it's according to His plan, we will begin to have children. And by God's design, He wants us to have these children, and He wants us to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So we do that, do we not? We have these newborn babies, and I remember holding my first daughter for the first time. I was actually living in Pennsylvania then. And I remember how sobering it was to hold her in the hospital for the very first time. And by sobering, I mean I realized that God had now placed me responsible for not only my wife and my home, but now this small little child who totally required my attention and that of my wife. For they could not grow on their own without our being there. And God has designed this. And we certainly put forth our best effort based on our relationship we have with the Lord and the relationship we have with our wives and husbands, that we care for our children and we try to teach them from the very earliest age. It was very impressive when I came over to the school there, and there was a quiz that Rude had with the kids before the chapel service, and he asked some pretty hard questions. And I thought, you know, I've been to Bible college and seminary, and so I'll be able to answer these in my own mind, full of pride and the whole thing. And he began to ask these questions, and after about the third one, I'm scratching my head. And these young kids are spouting out these answers. I'm like, Lord, I appreciate the pride lesson this morning. I'll pray extra. But God wants us to raise our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He wants us to raise kids to love Him the way we do, the way our spouse does. And so we raise them up, and what happens is they grow and they begin to be a toddler. Well, they first learn how things really work in the world they're now in. Because every time they cry, what do they do? What do we do? We run to them. And we pick them up, or we feed them, or we do what, maybe a diaper change. But they realize that when I cry, Mom and Dad respond immediately. See, we teach them to be spoiled right away. But really, it's the only mechanism we have to know what they need is crying. But then they get to be toddlers, and then they start walking around, and then they want to put their fingers on things and pull things down. So what do? What we do is we put the little plugs in the sockets, because little sharp, shiny things look like they should go in those holes, do they not? I guess the few of you laugh because you are the ones who have had this happen before, but if you stick shiny things into the sockets, bad things happen. So we put those little plugs in there to make sure that our children are safe. And so they start getting a little older. And as they get older, you're still teaching them and you're putting them in the place where they can learn about God, both in the home as well as in the church. Many of your children likely go to the Christian school here and truly are learning God's Word in an incredible way based on this quiz that they had that I was a part of. But it's important to us to raise our kids this way. And so what we do, we teach them, and as they get a little older, you know, they become a preteen, you know, when they really begin to see what life's about and all these value lessons that you try to teach them and you guard them, and they can only go so far in the neighborhood, and they have to have permission for everything. And we put all these safeguards around them. Why do we do that? Because number one, God admonishes us to take care of our children. And two, because we love them so much that we care about their safety. So God's design, we're doing the thing that God has instructed us to do. And so we continue to teach them, but then they get to be teenagers. And boy, do kids get smart when they become teenagers. Many of us as teenagers really thought, wow, why are my parents not as smart as I am? Why do they want to rob me of all my fun? Why do they keep these boundaries on me? And so they begin to consider things morally based on the messages that come in. And we hope that the messages that they get in our Christian homes is that the kids will learn and appreciate and make moral decisions and spiritual decisions and decisions about who they are and the way they think based on what God's Word has to say. But you know, the Bible talks a lot about temptation. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can have your kids in the best Christian school, which may be right here, and the best church, which also might be right here. And you and your spouse may take time to show them love and to teach them God's Word and do the things that you can do to help impact them. But guess what? There's an old man that they drag around with them too, just like we drag around each day. And in this process of decision making, sometimes some things get in there, whether it's based on curiosity or whatever, the temptation still exists in all of us to be drawn to things. Now, my hope is, for me, that I will learn things based on the wisdom I read from Scripture, as well as even hearing from the experiences of other people. And God forbid I miss the opportunity to learn things from my own mistakes. But sometimes when we, even as Christians, have to learn from our own mistakes, what happens is the consequences are very difficult. And believe it or not, regardless of where your teenager goes to school, whether it's right here in the public setting or where, they're having to deal with things and make decisions based on what's been put in there so far and what decisions they've made in their lives so far. And sometimes Christian young people make bad decisions. Sometimes Christian young people hear the temptation of being involved sexually before marriage. Certainly before they're ready emotionally in making decisions about their sexuality and have not considered all the cost, maybe. And even recognize themselves what right and wrong is and what the Scripture has to say about making that lifetime commitment in marriage before beginning that part of the relationship. Sometimes Christian young people yield to temptation. And what I hope for me is, when I've yielded to temptation in my life, that the consequences are not too great. But one of the things I want you to realize in regards to consequences is they teach us things, and sometimes our worst decisions God can turn around and use for good. But keeping it in the mind of the teenager, sometimes teenagers, even Christian ones, have made mistakes. And I want to give you some insight about how Satan operates. We know that in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10, it says that Satan's method of operation is to kill, steal, and destroy. This is what he wants to do in the life of the young person. A person who has not grown in wisdom, has not had life experience, is maybe not mature enough to recognize the cost of the temptation and following through. Even mighty men of God have fallen into temptation and had to experience great consequences, as in the life of David. But sometimes the young person begins to be tempted. And even young girls that sometimes we address at the pregnancy center, they didn't think through other than what they were feeling and thinking and hearing from other people. And they were drawn to things like, I'm feeling tempted, or they become tempted because they hear things like, I love you. And they put themselves in places that are questionable. And they hear this message over and over, I love you. And then Satan begins to recognize, wait a minute, I'm seeing these young teenagers together probably where they shouldn't be. And involving themselves in a progressive part of a relationship that they shouldn't be. And progression always leads to something next. And sometimes that next thing is going through with an intimate sexual relationship. It breaks my heart that my children have had to learn things the hard way. I'd like to say I'm thankful that even in their difficult lessons, they have learned. But there are Christian young women who have gone through this, and then they begin to hear what Satan has to say. And Satan will tell that young girl, if you will be with this young boy, he really will love you forever. It feels wonderful, and if you really want to understand what real love is like, if you want to be like other teenagers and not like the silly person that you are, but be real in your maturity, you will go through with this. And Satan will come at every angle that this young girl might want to hear or might be inclined to listen to and believe, because Satan is not only a liar, but he's the father of all lies. And sometimes these young girls follow through. And sometimes they find themselves pregnant. Now let me tell you something. That's a difficult consequence. But how you respond in that situation is very important. But let me stay with the young girl. What does Satan tell that young girl after she's followed through with the act itself? He says, I thought you said you were a Christian. I thought you said that you were a good girl. Your daddy is not going to love you anymore. You know, in Genesis, Satan is called the tempter. But in Revelation, he's called what? The accuser. And this is how he operates in his method of destruction. He first begins to tempt and tempt and tempt. And then when the young girl, the young couple, the young girl and boy follow through with this, regardless of what the outcome is, but they follow through with this act, and Satan then begins to bombard them with accusation, because that then is his greatest way of destruction. He tells them they're no good, they certainly don't love Jesus, their father and mother are going to hate them, they're going to be scarred for life. And they begin to feel pressed down, and Satan begins to find greater and greater victories in the mind of this young girl and maybe young couple. But see, then Satan becomes the tempter again. And he's already reminded her over and over of this act that defies any love for God and certainly any love or care for her family, and begins to whisper in her ear and say, but you know what? You can take care of it in just a matter of 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, it can all be over. Mom and Dad will never have to know. Certainly God is forgiving. That's a done deal. It's a quick eraser. Some of these young girls follow through with this temptation to end life. And think just for a moment how Satan uses that in the life of maybe this young girl. Maybe she's in her 20s or 30s. It's the same temptation, the same MO. But somehow, they have followed through with taking human life that was in their womb. I want you to understand the crushing level of destruction that this act has on the heart and mind of a person, regardless of their age. And yes, maybe this girl has not got a very strong faith. And oftentimes we find that they do not. Even if they profess Christ and understand the gospel, they still I just can't believe how uneducated our young people are in regards to this issue of abortion. And there's a time when we should make sure this is clear to them. And you as parents need to consider what that timing is. But having a pregnancy is a difficult challenge, and it's a lifetime lesson to learn. But this abortion issue is that as well. And Satan wants to crush. And all he wants to do for the rest of this woman's life is to remind her of what she's done. Now please hear this and understand, God wants us to learn from our bad choices. He wants us to learn. And this, my friends, taking of human life is a bad choice. But it's only Satan that wants to destroy you with it. Because what God wants to do is to bring healing in regards to this choice. And he wants to bring wholeness again. And just like with the prodigal son, what God wants to do is to embrace you tightly and love you more dramatically and show that love towards you. And how he does that is through the Holy Spirit and through families. Like this big one right here. Recognizing that as we, when I have an opportunity to speak to, especially the congregation this large, there may be someone who has gone through this. God does not want you destroyed by this. He wants you to be healed and restored. Some of the greatest volunteers that I've worked with over many years now have been those who have made this choice sometime earlier in their life. And they've come to us at the center, and we have a ministry specifically set aside for those who have made this choice and been crushed by it. And we help through God's Word and through time together find that healing that comes and that full restoration. And some of the ladies who have come through this have become our greatest volunteer client advocates because they've experienced it themselves. And they are hungry to help those who may be facing that same decision. I encourage you today that if that is you, know that you are not condemned. Only Satan wants you destroyed, and God wants you to be restored. He wants to bring healing in this decision. We need to be available to teach. You know, the pastor read from Matthew chapter 9 this morning. And if you read further, after Jesus had been healing and doing great works of in his early ministry, looked upon the crowd with great compassion. And his heart was moved because he saw these people that were sheep without a shepherd. And we need people who will come and be a part of us. Be prepared, even in this ministry, to handle girls who are like this, whether they come through us or not. That you understand something about what this girl has been through. That you are ready and prepared to minister to her where she's at. And some of you may feel compelled to come be a part of the center. Certainly the doors are open. And maybe it's not to be a client advocate. Maybe it's for one of the many, many other tasks that we have at the center to do. But I encourage you to consider coming to volunteer. And what I'm trying to draw for you a picture this morning of a person of faith that came from maybe a Christian home or they had a personal faith themselves, and how Satan operates in the life of somebody who's acknowledged Christ as Savior at some point in their life. Or there was some walk that they had at some point in their life. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's a large population in our culture and this surrounding community that know nothing about God. Anything about God they know is misconceptions based on stuff they've heard and things they think they've experienced. And they have nothing to draw from. And Satan is crushing them as well. Because let me tell you, God has naturally put something in us, this natural mothering instinct, that I don't care how hard and your heart is, even as a lost person, you know that a life has been taken. And those ladies, sometimes unsaved, come to us and are really struggling with this choice that they say they've had, that they've taken, that they've followed through with. And they don't have God to rely on because they have no relationship with Him. One of the things that the pastor mentioned this morning is certainly the heart of the ministry. Our core value is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation, as Paul writes. And we want to share that gospel. We come in, the service that we provide, there are many. Educational, practical assistance. Certainly in a lot of different areas we help these ladies that come through. We are a human service agency. But our core value is to help them recognize and meet the greatest need of their life, and that is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. We've had 52 of our clients that have come through our doors this year have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. One of the reasons for this vision that the pastor has mentioned this morning, for developing a stronger relationship with the churches, so that the churches that we have a relationship with are prepared to receive these clients, because for many, most of them come to us unsaved. And they've recognized their need for Christ. Now what? I'm happy to say that we disciple them through our ministry. But the one thing we cannot do is be the body of Christ for them in this setting. In the church setting that Christ has designed for us, and He is the chief cornerstone. So I want to work with your pastor, and with Josh and with Rude and those in this church, and help you guys be prepared to receive these young girls, whether they had a faith and just have not walked with the Lord in a number of years, or whether they being introduced to Christ for the very first time. To help them go from our front door to being a part of the body of Christ in a church. There's a lot of sinners like ours across the nation. Some are Christian ministries, but really do not have as their core value sharing the gospel. Then you have some that do have as a core value sharing the gospel, but they really do not have the kind of relationship with the churches that are needed to help them go from the sinner to the church. And so we want to try at Crossroads Pregnancy Care, we want to try to change that. And we want to make a way for them to assimilate as easily as possible, recognizing the love and the grace that they've received when they walk through our door, that they'll receive the same thing here. That when they see the faces of the people who are ready to welcome them in, they see joy in their face to even be seen, to be a part. Many of our clients come to us and they continue for a period of time because they receive practical assistance through education. But many of the stories that you will hear through our ministry is our clients say, I come back because I appreciate the person who's helping me. They really care about me. And for many in our culture, they don't really have somebody that cares about them. We get to be the hands and feet and mouthpiece of Christ. And let me tell you something. There's not a better thing to be in this life. You know, the Bible talks about in that same passage that explains Satan's method of operation, kill, steal, and destroy. What does it say about what God wants for us? He wants us to have an abundant life. Have it more abundantly. You know what the abundant life is? Operating in your giftedness in the center of God's will is the most blessed, abundant place you can live. And I have the blessing to work with a lot of awesome people, men and women. And the ministry needs men too. Don't forget that, guys. Make a note. The ministry needs men as well. And, you know, I like to say that number 52. That's an awesome number. It's certainly a reflection of the heart of our ministry. But, you know, God does not measure by a number. And you know, this year, 2015, we may see 10 people come to Christ and not 50. But the exciting thing for me is I know the folks that I work with, and God measures not numbers. He measures faithfulness. And we have been a success when we have been faithful, regardless of the outcome, because the outcome is His to have. We can't save a single soul. Only the Holy Spirit saves. So man's way is way off track. We have an ever-decreasing value of life and love that is happening in our culture. And God needs us, Crossroads Pregnancy Care, and His body that's in the churches in this community to be a light for those who are lost, for those who are in need of truth and hope. And we need to have that available for them. So we are that response, I think. I like to tell people that we are the Christ response to this issue of abortion and this issue of diminishing love and devaluing of life. Do you want to be a part of that with us? It has been such a joy for me to get to know your pastor a little bit. I've spent some time with Rude and with Josh. And I'm going to tell you, we share a heart for those who are lost and hurting. You know, he talked about this being a ministry of mercy. It certainly is that. But there is not a more exciting evangelistic opportunity in all of this area, any more so than Crossroads Pregnancy Care. I'm thankful that this morning that you guys want to be a part of our ministry. And I'm looking so forward to working with your pastor. I'm looking forward to some of you this morning recognizing, hey, I'd like to be a part or see what this ministry is all about. And I'm more than happy to sit down with you and explain exactly what we're all about, even beyond some of the thoughts that I've shared with you this morning. But you know, there may be some of you here this morning who know someone, or maybe you yourself, has got some things that you're dealing with that's in regards to an abortion or past decisions or being a part of helping someone go through that process, whatever it may be. If there's something this morning that's related to some of the things I've said to you that Satan is immediately, even now, trying to crush you with, let me assure you, God wants you whole and restored. He wants you to put the past behind you and begin to serve Him faithfully and experience the abundant life that comes as a result of that. This morning, you may find that you want to come up after the service and pray. You may want to speak with me or one of your pastors. Let me encourage you to do that. I have some business cards if you'd like to have one of those. We've got quite a number of the Christmas cards out there that have all of our information in each envelope. But I want to encourage you. This is the kind of ministry that I want you to be excited to be. That's an outreach ministry of Bethel Baptist Church. I want you to get to know us so well that with great joy you want to partner with us, and that you can say, Crossroads Pregnancy Care is an outreach ministry of our church. Because we truly are. If you love the Lord the way we do, if you represent Christ the way we do, and certainly want to offer the gospel of Jesus Christ the way we do, we should partner together. January 22nd, 1973, 42 years ago, one of the greatest devastating things in our culture happened, and abortion became legal. And I had a conversation with our with our board president just this week about the likelihood of Roe v. Wade ever being overturned. And I said, if it ever did get overturned, and how great that would be, the need for our ministry would at least triple almost overnight. I'm thankful to be a part of it, and I'm thankful that you guys want to be a part of it too, and that we're going to be partnering together for future ministry. Let's pray. Father, this morning, in just this brief amount of time, just sharing some of just the main information of why we exist. What it is we try to do by sharing truth and love. How we represent Christ in this ministry is very important to us, and I'm thankful that we have the privilege to serve in this place and that you are blessing it over and over again. That you are allowing us to be a part of the process of salvation, that we get an opportunity to share your gospel. I'm thankful for this church that has also the same core value, that they want to see the lost saved. They want to see those who are part of this family to grow in the knowledge and the grace that is yours, that is of you. I'm thankful for churches like Bethel Baptist Church that want to come together and that we can truly be in ministry together. God, I want to pray for all of those clients who come through our doors, who are hurting, facing great difficulty. You know what's in their hearts. Help us to be truly the hands and feet and mouthpiece of Christ. Let us demonstrate love and compassion just as Christ did. Help us to share love and truth just as Christ did. Lord, I want to thank you for the many, many volunteers who come and are a part of the work of this ministry. They sacrifice their time every week to come and participate in this process and in this ministry. I'm thankful for the faithfulness that they demonstrate day after day. Father, I pray for this culture. How devastating it is in our culture that how we view life. Our culture as a whole, how we have diminished in understanding love. And how that's affected our culture. How that's affected the taking of unborn life. How that has been used by Satan to destroy so many. Help us to be a light, Father, an effective one. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who is struggling with any issue in which I may have touched this morning, that they would seek you, they would pour their hearts out to you. They will allow someone to come alongside them and offer prayer and encouragement and direction. If there's someone who has participated in some way, male or female, in the taking of life, I pray that you would provide the healing necessary for them and restore them fully, that Satan will not any longer use any of our past choices, regardless of how devastating they might be, to destroy us, but that you would turn even our worst decisions around to help us more fruitful servants of yours. Father, we commit our time to you this morning, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.